special event today by Rabbi Aaron and Lava, Kvod Rav, Kvod Chotim, Kvod everybody who's here. It's a pleasure to see. It was an amazing thing that we put together today. It was from Shamayim. I didn't expect this to happen, but it was all everything last minute. I was supposed to be somewhere else today. But I said to myself, let me just ask Rabbi Alon, maybe he's going to do it, because he lives in Israel. And I heard a lot of different things about him. I listened to his shirim. And apparently the answer was good. I said, you know, I'm not doing it for myself, I'm doing it with Kal Kadosh, to make it Hashem Shamayim, to bring people to make to Hashem happy. And it was an amazing thing, amazing experience. So I would like to thank everybody for coming. I would like to thank Rabbi Alon coming from all the way from Israel.
Thank you. It's a long walk.
It's whoever never heard about him, he's Rabbi Alon Anava, right? If you go on Google, or if you go on YouTube. You have a website, right? Where you have your shiurim, his lot of shiurim. You have a... One candidate here, I'm not going to mention names, who said he never did Kriyat Shema Lamita. He started doing Kriyat Shema Lamita every day. And he said he changed his life. I personally, myself, used to skip every one day here and there. And I used to be very tired. Now I would do Baruch Hashem Bli Neder every day because of your shiur, I could say. You know, it has a lot of things inside. And the main thing was, he asked me, he said, what should I talk about? What's my main subject? What do you want me to talk? I said, you know... tonight is the Yotzar Baba Sali, Rabbi Yisrael Bukhatsera, who was a very holy person, comes from a family of tzaddikim. I don't know if you know a family of Rabbi Yaakov Bukhatsera, who was his grandfather. They ask his wife one time, what's the secret of Baba Sali? Why, you know, he makes miracles and he pours the arak, it doesn't end, and people come to see him and everything. He says to his wife, you know, people think I use Kabbalat Lamasid, I use every different magic, I do God forbid things that people think that I'm a holy man and do things. He said, I have a simple, simple thing. I'm a man of faith, I only believe in Hashem, and that's what carries me on, and it's nothing else. I have only 100% Emunah, and that's what, when I have Emunah, belief in God, Hashem helps me every way I go, and people think I'm the one, I'm nobody, I'm just a messenger. This was Baba Saleh. Baba Saleh was a pure man of faith, belief, Mesirut Nefesh, working hard, giving and loving every single Jew. I'd like to invite Rabbi Alon Anava. B'chal Rabbi Alon. And we're going to speak tonight. The main subject is going to be the subject of Emunah. To have, you know, to follow the footsteps of our forefathers. And hopefully it's going to change things. We're going to have an opportunity to speak to Rabbi if you want after lecture. And Bezat Hashem, we're going to have Arabic after as well. Please stay and don't leave right away. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Maybe you could give me a small cup of water.
Yeah, sure. Not
so a little bit for the L'chaim. Good evening, everybody. Since you're all scattered to the sides, apologize me when I'm not looking at you. So thank you very much, Aaron, for the story and the introduction. Today's a very, very special night. Because when a tzaddik leaves the world, he leaves a mark in the world. A tzaddik is not a simple person like us. A tzaddik is a pillar. It says that the world is standing on the tzaddikim. Tzaddik yesod olam. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. A tzaddik is here to teach us. A tzaddik is here for us to look at him. A tzaddik is here to guide us. Tzaddik has a very special thing. That's good? Baruch Hashem. Tzaddik has a very special quality, and we're going to talk about it very soon. I hope this is not the L'chaim.
No.
Oh. L'chaim. I thought this is the L'chaim. I will be crawling home. A tzaddik has a very special quality that we're going to talk about it soon that is connected to the topic of our lecture tonight. But when the tzaddik leaves the world, it means he completed his work in this world. And this is the day that he, heavenly court, decided to take him up. It's a big simcha. For us, when somebody leaves the world, it's a tragedy. We mourn, we're sad, we miss them. But in essence, it's a day of happiness. Because that person came to completion. That's it. He finished his job. So much more so, l'achad kama v'kama, with a tzaddik. Tzaddik came to this world, And on this day, he decided that he completed everything. And this particular tzaddik, Israel Abuchatzera, was one of the pillars of the previous generation. Not to talk too much about him, one of the things that was most special about him, that he was very humble. He wasn't like so out there. He was quiet, in his place. And that's what made him so great. He was born in 1889 in Morocco. He died in 1884 in Eretz Israel. He comes from a lineage of huge mekubalim and tzaddikim. His father is a very known mekubal, Mas'ud Abuchatzera. His father is Yaakov Abuchatzera, who is known as the Abir Yaakov, who wrote amazing Kabbalah books. When he was a teenager, he was already matched to his first wife. Unfortunately, 2 years after they were married, while she gave birth to the first child, she passed away, and that child also didn't survive. Later on, he was matched to his next wife. They had 9 kids. They came to Eretz Yisrael, but even from the 9 kids, only 3 survived. In these times, the medicine, the quality of medicine wasn't that good. But Baruch Hashem, he came to Eretz Yisrael in the 60s, and he was known to be a very great mekubal, but he was so humble that he was like, me? No, I don't know. I don't know nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. It was known that his chatzer, his yard, was full of rabbis that would write kmeot. He wouldn't do anything. He didn't do nothing. He didn't write the kmeot. But all the rabbanim, they would be known to write a kamea. Kamea is like a I don't know even, how do you say kamea in English?
Amulet.
How much?
Amulet.
Amulet. But he would supervise them. And just so we can go into the lecture, because I think it's more important, the tzaddik wants to be, the tzaddik doesn't want us to talk about him. The tzaddik is humble. He's like, don't talk about me. Talk about Torah. But Mehmet, he was known to have numerous of moftim, of miracles that are not normal, especially when it came to medicine and to sick people. That was his gdula. Anyone who would get sick would right away go to the Baba Sali. There's a famous story. There's a famous doctor, if I'm not mistaken, his name is Dr. Carasso, who was a very big doctor. I think he was in Ichilov. I don't remember exactly the details. But somebody came, and the child was in critical condition. And the father said, you have to do whatever you can. He told the doctor, Dr. Carasso, you have to do whatever you can. I know you saved once one of my family members. You have to do whatever you can to save my child. And this doctor, after a very short observation, was like, he didn't tell the father, but he's like, he's gone. The brain is already old. He had a I don't know how the term in English, but when there's a blood hemorrhage in the brain. At some point, the doctor told him, listen, I don't know what to do, but if you're a believer, go to the Baba Sali, because at this point, there's nothing much to do. Sure enough, that person wasn't a religious person, but he was like, his son was so important to him, he went to the Baba Sali. A few hours later, this man coming back to the hospital, all happy. The doctor's like, what's going on? He's like, no, the Baba Sali told me it's going to be okay. And this man, who was not religious at all, had such confidence and such emunah in the tzaddik, because the Baba Sali was like in a very simple, don't worry, he'll be okay. And sure enough, it took 6 months of operations and rehab, but this young man was saved. So the Baba Sali was known to have very special powers in regards to doing miracles specifically with sick people. But how does a man, besides that a tzaddik is born a tzaddik, but how does a tzaddik, or even simple people like us, you know, our sages says, V'amech kulam tzaddikim. We all have the potential to be a tzaddik. How does one can reach to that level? And the topic that we want to talk about tonight is something that is the stumble block for each and every one of us, doesn't matter how long your beard is. And doesn't matter how, if you were born religious, not born religious, doesn't matter. We're all facing the same problem that we have at some point, to some degree, a lack of emunah, faith, and a lack of bitachon, trust in God. Everybody deals with it. Now the thing is, a lot of people come, whether it's to me or to many other rabbanim, and says, Rabbi, give me a tip, you know, I don't have emunah. Now where does the problem start? The problem starts is when things don't go well. When things go well, Hashem is the best God. When you just close the deal, oh, he's my best friend. I'll give you now a lot of charity because I just closed the deal. You meet your other half, oh, you make a big party. So you don't have a problem with believing in God or trusting God or having faith in God when everything's good. But it all changes when things start to be not good. Now, in order to understand how I can come with a solution, I first have to understand the problem. If I don't know the problem, I'll never come to a solution. But the thing is that we all have parts in our life that we lose our faith. More than that, the faith may be less. Some people more, some people less. It's the trust in God. Now, faith is called in Hebrew emunah. Emunah and faith, this is not something you work for. This is not something that you can gain. You are born with the emunah. This is built in. This is installed in the neshama, the level of emunah. The Zohar calls that level ad de lo yada. The highest sfira is sfirat haketer. Keter is a crown. The Zohar calls it ad de lo yada. This is the level of emunah. This is the highest level you can reach. There's levels of yedia, knowing, hasaga, grasping. But the level of emunah, this is the highest level. Look at Avraham Avinu, was the biggest Baal emunah. He would go with his eyes closed, he didn't care anything. He would go, whatever Hashem would tell him, he would just do it. He had such a high level of emunah, it was beyond understanding, beyond knowing, beyond grasping. And this level is built in. You don't have to gain it. You have to reveal it. Because we know that our soul is built from five components. The highest level of our soul is called Yechida. Yechida comes from the Hebrew word Yichud. Together. Bayachad. Mainly from Yichud. Bayachad is the adjective. It's together. Yichud is something very, very strong. That's why we know when a husband and wife get together, they go to the Yichud room. They become together. They become one. Two bodies become one. So the highest level of the soul is called Yechida. Why? Because it's a piece of God. It's Chelek Eloka. It's 100% united with God. We don't have anything to do with that level. Yechida, very, very special, and few tzaddikim, they operate on that level, the level of Yechida. These are the tzaddikim that they look at you, they don't see the body, they see up there in the headquarters, they see what's going on up, they don't look straight in you. The Arizal would look at a person, he would know all his ilgulim, all his previous life, everything. Why? He was in such a high level, he would communicate, not with the body, he would communicate with your Yechida. The next level, below Yechida, is called Chaya. Chaya, not an animal, rather comes from the word Chai, Chayut. This is what's called Tzelem. This is like the aura, the Goyim call it aura. We call it Tzelem, Tzelem Eloki. Tzelem is this Or Makif, this surrounding light that surrounds our Neshama. But from that comes our shape. The shape of our body comes from that. Then there are neshama, ruach, and nefesh. These are levels of our soul that we actually work with. Now, the thing is that the nefesh is the lowest part of our neshama, and that's the part that mainly interacts in our body. Now, a tzaddik depends on the tzaddik. There are many different levels of tzaddikim. But a tzaddik, he operates in the level of yechida. Now, in order for us to first understand what I said, the problem with Emunah, I'm just going to give you a very short overview of the structure of everything. That way we can start somehow relating with it. The level of Emunah comes from the highest level, from the Yechida. Why? Because it's attached to Hashem. Sees Hashem. It's like totally connected to Hashem. So it doesn't understand. It doesn't know. It believes. It just sees. But it's such a high and removed level from what we're interacting with that we have to dig real deep to get it. Now we know in Kabbalah there's Eser Sfirot, which it manifests into our soul, into Eser Kochot HaNefesh, 10 levels that we operate with. And it's our job in this life and in previous life to slowly, slowly, gradually go up those levels. Whether you know or not, we're all reincarnated many, many times. We're not here for the first time. We're all here probably a couple dozen times, maybe even hundreds of times. The Arizal, he explains that every soul has to come down to this world to do all 613 mitzvot in thought, speech, and action. You can do it in one shot, you can do it in two shots, you can do it in three shots, you can do it in 100 shots. Really? Nobody did it in one time. Only one person was able to do the whole thing in one time. David HaMelech. David HaMelech. Moshe was reincarnated a few times. Moshe himself is a reincarnation. David HaMelech was the first one who was able to do all 613 mitzvot in thought, speech, and action. Oh, he was lucky. He was a king. A lot of the mitzvot, you have to be a melech for that. But the melech makes, he's yotzias. But David HaMelech was able to do all 613 in thought, speech, and action in one shot. Excuse me? He was able to do it in thought and in speech. He didn't actually build it, but he was able to do it in thought and machshava v'dibur, thought and speech. This is how we are able to do it. Because when here we are here in this generation, and we know that's it, we're the last generation. Mashiach is coming now, so there's not more reincarnations. Maybe few can still maybe somehow do something. So our job right now, we don't have Bet HaMikdash, we don't have Eretz Yisrael, we don't have Kohanim, we don't have many of our mitzvot, but what? We can do it in thought and in speech. So if I now go through the entire Shulchan Aruch, then I do all the halachot that I learn on, then I do it in my thought because I understand it, and I do it in speech because I talk it. Unshalma parim sfatenu, when our sages said we don't have the Bet HaMikdash, our mouth is going to be like our sacrifices, the same exact thing you do when you study now, it's like as if you did it. Why we do pitum aktoret and korbanot, all these things? Because it says when you say it, it's like as if you actually did it. So the thing is that we come back here in reincarnations over and over and over because we have to complete a whole cycle. A lot of people said, oh, we come back here because we messed up in a previous life and now I'm being punished. It's not exactly like that. It's not that Hashem is like standing up there with a notebook and he's punishing us. Yes, it is true that when I, in one life, in one reincarnation, I'd messed something up, I will come back here to fix it. And the reason why I'm telling you that, because there's half the things that are going not so well in our life, is because baggage that I'm coming with from a previous life. Now, this level of Emunah comes from the highest level of our soul. Our job is to reveal it. Not to nourish it, not to bring it, to reveal it. We just have to dig real deep to take it out. The thing is that if you would have now an envelope with a lot of money or diamonds, and it will get lost, you would turn the whole world upside down to find it. You would not go to sleep till you find that envelope. Why? Because it's important. It's valuable, and you'll do whatever you can to reveal it. Why? Because in your mind, it has value. You pursue things that have value. If you don't see value in something, you're not going to go after it. And that's why many people don't pursue mitzvot, because they don't see the value in it. If you would see the value, it would be highest priority. The problem with us, we don't see value in things. Why do you wake up in the morning to go to work? There's value. I get a check at the end of the week. Very simple. But to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to put tefillin on, I don't see any value, so why should I do it? I'm not going to go out of my way to do it because I don't see the value in it. And that's the problem, is that we don't know to differentiate between good and bad. And this is where the whole problem started. Because originally when God created the world, He put Adam and Chava in this world, and everything was perfect. Everything was good. The problem started is when they sinned. When they sinned, they brought down sin to the world. They brought down death to the world. They brought down tumah to the world. They messed everything up, basically. Now, if you remember, in Sefer Bereshit, we read that Hashem created in Gan Eden the tree of life, Etz HaChaim, and the tree of knowledge, Etz HaDaat. In Etz HaDaat is the secret of the entire world. That's the DNA of the world. And that's why God didn't want them to eat from it. Because it's like, if they're going to eat from it, then they're going to think they are, lehavdil, a god. That was the whole point of the Nachash. He wanted them to think that they are a god themselves. And that was the problem of Adam HaRishon, because he was in a very high madriga. Adam HaRishon was in a very, very high madriga, very high level. He was supposed to come here. Adam was put in the level of Olam HaAsiyah. And he was given the level of Nefesh. And he was supposed to climb Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. He was supposed to keep Shabbat. There was a plan. But unfortunately, his ego came and he was like, no, I don't need to go through the steps. I'll go straight to the top. What's the problem? The second that the Nachash came and made them sin, it says that Adam, HaRishon, Nafal Mimadrigato. He fell down from his level. And up until today, we have to fix it. Now, what really happened? What really happened when he fell down from his level? He brought down to the world the concept of good and bad. Kabbalah calls Etz HaDaat, Sod Etz HaDaat, the secret of Etz HaDaat is Tovera, good and bad. And if you see that our entire Torah is all divided in two things, good and bad. And our entire Torah, all our mitzvot, is to sift, this is good, this is bad. This is kosher, this is not kosher. This is pure, this is not pure. This is permitted, this is not permitted. This is our entire avodah. The entire Torah came to guide us how I sift between the good and the bad. If I take the manual and I master it, I have no problem. I know this is good for me, I can touch it. This is bad, I don't want to touch it. Why do you think Hashem prohibited us from touching things? Not because He wants to make our life annoying. The Arizal explains that every little thing in this world has a godly spark that enlivens it, that creates it. Even an inanimate, even a rock, it has a nefesh. Arizal says everything has a nefesh. It's a soul. So even inanimates, animals, trees, everything has this nefesh, has this godly spark that enlivens it. There's a major rule in Kabbalah that it says, Mama lamala nofel mata mata. What comes from the highest place will fall to the most lowest place. And the easiest way to understand it, imagine a brick wall. Now push the brick wall. Now the bricks that are on the top, they will fall the furthest away. And the bricks that are on the bottom will maybe roll a few inches. That's it. So whatever it seems in this world, the lowest of the lowest, it actually came from the highest level in spiritual worlds. So when you look at an animal, an inanimate, or a tree, you would think, oh, it's a much lower level of creation. I speak, I talk, I think. We're technically the lowest level. The question, you know, what came first? Because what's more important? One version says human beings are the most important because everything was created before them, so they can come into a perfect, ready world. So we are the highest level. There's a different opinion that says, no, you are the lowest of creation, you came last. The reality is that we came here to elevate all these levels. There are four levels that we know of: Adam, human; Chaya, animal; Tzomeach, vegetation; and Domem, inanimate. And we as humans have the ability and the power, and we have to elevate all these levels. So you take water, it's an inanimate. You water the ground, the afar, the sand, it's an inanimate. But from that grows a tree, That's already vegetation. Then you take the tree off the fruit from the tree. Well, then will come an animal and eat the grass. Now the animal ate the grass, the vegetation that was watered by the inanimate. And when you consume the animal, you elevate all these levels. So the thing is that once Adam HaRishon, fell down from his level, started what's called Avodat HaBerurim, the job of sifting between good and bad. Why do we do that? Because when Adam HaRishon fell from his Madrega, Adam HaRishon, you have to understand, was not a person like what we think that sat in Gan Eden with drinking a margarita, and they were waving Eretim. That's not Gan Eden. The Gan Eden is a total different thing. The Gemara explains that Adam HaRishon was so huge, he was 500 amot high, his feet was in this world, but his head was in Shamayim Bechlal. Adam HaRishon was a pillar of light. He got his body after he sinned. So Adam HaRishon was a very high level, and he was a completely one big soul. And when he sinned, this huge amount of light exploded. This is called Shvirat HaKelim, because he was only contained from light. And when he sinned, the vessel that was containing that light exploded because there was too much light. Kabbalah actually calls it Neshirat Evarim. All his limbs fell down. Now, from this explosion, billions and millions of godly sparks went flying all over the place. 600,000 of these sparks are the souls of the Jews, Nishmot Israel. But all the rest of the sparks, so all the sparks that are the non-Jews, animals, inanimates, everything else, billions of sparks. Now we know that the head of Adam HaRishon contained the 600 souls of the Jews. And the rest of the nations are from his body. How do we know that? Because the Jews are called Bnei Israel, the sons of Israel. If you switch the words, it's Li Rosh. So the Jews are from the head, and the Goyim are from the body. And how do we know that? Because a body in Hebrew is called Gviya. That's where they got the term Goy. So the souls, the nefesh of all the nations come from the body of Adam HaRishon. Once all this happened, all these godly sparks scattered all over the universe. Now Hashem said, okay, now I need you all to go down and start sifting and finding these sparks so we can put it all together. And that's why God had to give us the Torah, because He said, okay, I gotta give you a list what you're allowed to deal with and touch and what you're not allowed to. Whatever the Torah prohibits us to do, it means that the godly spark that's in it is too dangerous for us. We can't deal with it. Take now electricity, take the two minuses, put them together, you'll get a shortcut. It's going to explode. You need a minus and a plus. Then you get some type of a amshacha, an interaction. So Hashem says, this is not permitted for you because the godly spark that's in it, if you touch it, it will make a shortcut. It will damage your soul. So all the animals that God told us, don't touch them, it's not to make our life hard. Because it says, the godly spark that is in that animal, don't touch it. It will damage your soul. You get a shortcut. The Torah is so precise that it's telling us what we're allowed to eat, what we're not allowed to eat, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. It's not to make our life hard. When I'm doing something and I'm not allowed to do, and it says specifically in the Torah, I'm making a shortcut between my soul and this godly spark, and I'm damaging myself, basically. Now, what is the result of that? When God created the world, He had to create the world in a very sophisticated way. Now, amazingly, every word in Hebrew has a meaning. That's why a lot of people, they read translations of things and they don't get it. That's why the non-Jews, they read our Torah or the Tanakh and they take the words out of their context and then they think that they understand what they're reading. They come up with all these new things. You cannot learn Torah or the whole Torah, or anything in a different language but Hebrew. Because the words have meanings. So when Hashem created the world, world in Hebrew is called Olam. Olam comes from the word He'elem, concealment, to hide. So when God wanted to create the world, He had to hide Himself. In the beginning, He didn't hide Himself. ורוח אלוקים מרחפת על פני המים. That's what it says in the Bereshit. Hashem was there. אדם הראשון saw אלוקים, he saw him. אדם הראשון was in such a high level, he didn't see what we see. He saw the godly power, this nefesh, that enlivens everything. So Adam was sitting like this, and Hashem brought to him every creature, every creation, and Adam HaRishon saw this godly power in it, and it named it. So God brought all the animals to Adam HaRishon, he named them. He brought them everything that we have, Adam HaRishon looked at it, and he named it. Because he saw the godly power that enlivens it. And even the names of Adam and Chava, doesn't come out, it's not that they invented a name. His name is Adam because he comes from the Adama. Because how Hashem created him, he took the afar, the sand, put a little bit of water, made a mishmash, and hop. But he took him out of the land, out of the sand, Adama. So his name is Adam. He also created in Betzelem Elokim Nivra Adam, in the image of God, word was created. So Hashem says, Adame Le'elyon. He's going to look like the Elyon, like me. La'avdil elef avdalot. Hashem doesn't have an image. But the word Adam came from because he Adame Le'elyon. I'm going to look like the Supreme. So when God created the world and he named the world Olam, because the world comes to conceal, to Le'alim, to hide God. If you would see God right now, I guarantee to you, you would be a Baba Sali too. No doubt. But God hides himself. How does he hide himself? He conceals himself. God is compared to light. That's why Kabbalah calls God Or En Sof. Why? It's not that God is a light. Light in Hebrew is Or. Hashem is not Or. But when Hashem wants to reveal himself, Humair, he shines. You see a godly revelation, Heara. So God is compared to light. So when God wants to reveal himself, he removes these screens so you can see him. But God doesn't want us to see him. So God concealed himself with many, many, many different layers, like blinds, like shields, that we're not going to see him. Why? A, if we would see now God, we would faint on the spot. No, there's no question here. It's not that we would be fainting, rather we would be annulled to this power. Nobody can stand in front of God and not be completely annulled. It's almost, if you need to compare it to something, you can compare it to the sun. Nothing can stand in front of the sun and not be melted. Nothing. NASA did not invent a spaceship that can go close to the sun. And even the rays of the sun, when you're walking on this planet, you see the light. What do you see? You see the rays of the sun. But even the rays of the sun in the actual sun are completely annulled to the sun. Because they're part of the sun. So Hashem didn't want to reveal himself to us. So he concealed himself. And in order to conceal himself, he had to create a power that would cover him. And this power is called klipa. Like a shell. Like a peel. You take an orange, the orange has a peel. It's protecting the actual fruit. It's not edible, it's disgusting, it's sour, but it has a job. Its job is to protect the fruit. So originally how God created the world, he had to create some type of a power that would conceal godliness. And it says, Zelu matze bara Elokim, Hashem, whatever Hashem created in the holy level, in the holy realm, he had to create something on the other side of it. That's why we see in everything there's the reflection, the mirror. So Hashem created this power, this negative power, but originally it was supposed to just cover and conceal him. The only problem is that once Adam and Chava didn't listen to him, then they took all their power and they gave it to that klipa, to this concealment. And the problem is that every time that I do something that is against what the Torah is teaching me, I'm taking this godly power and I'm giving it to the other side of holiness, the klipa. So if I follow the Torah exactly how it says, the Torah comes from the word hora'ah, to teach. The Torah came to teach us. Besides the stories that are very interesting, there's a message in each story, and the Torah came to teach us how I have to live in this world. I now buy, I don't know, a DVD, a TV, whatever. I buy something, I need to look at the manual. The manual tells me, don't put it in the sun. Don't put it like that. You have to turn it off. It gives you instructions how to take care of it. So God said, I'm going to give you a whole manual and you'll know how to function in this world. Now, if you start going against what the manual is saying, you're going to start to have some shortcuts. Now, if you do it that way, there's no warranty. You now buy something and they give you a guarantee, a warranty. They tell you, if you broke it, I'm not going to replace it. If it's damaged from the factory, there's warranty. But if you did it, I'm not going to change it. So the thing is, this short introduction is to understand something very, very simple. We are responsible to our own acts. Nobody can come and complain or blame anyone else. I cannot blame anyone else for my problems. I'm responsible for my own acts. And a lot of people think that God punishes you. Or God is mean. Why is he doing it to me? He's not doing anything. You do an action and you right away get the reaction. That's how this world works. I guarantee to you that if you bang your head at the wall, you'll get a headache. The wall is not to blame. You can't complain to the wall. You can complain to yourself that you banged your head at the wall. That's it. Take now a stone, throw it at a window, smash the window into pieces. Can you blame the window? Can you punish the rock? No. You took a rock, you did an action, now you have to take the reaction. This is the reaction. Now you have to pay to change the window. The owner of the window is not upset. He's like, okay, I know, you had a moment of insanity. Fine. Just pay the window. Hashem doesn't punish you. Hashem says, okay, you did some type of a reaction against what I instructed you. Take responsibility. Very, very simple. Don't complain to anyone but yourself. Now the thing is like this, that we are born with all the knowledge that we need to know and we have built in our neshama this level of emunah. The problem is that we come down to this world, A, we start doing sins. Whether we want to, whether we don't want to, whether we know about it, whether we don't know, whether I feel like... We're humans, we do a lot of sins. Every time that I make a sin, the opposite of will of God, I create this klipa, this spiritual energy that surrounds my body like a layer. And then I do another one, so another layer. Another one, another layer. The more that I do, the more of these acts that I do, I cover my soul with layers. Now if you take now a lamp, and you have a bulb, it's shining a lot of light, now you come and you put a lampshade on it. Then you diminish the light. And then you'll take a towel, you'll throw it on the lampshade, so you diminish the light even more. And then you'll take a thicker towel, throw it on it, you diminish the light even more. Then you put a blanket on it, and the more you add, at some point, there's no light. Now, you didn't turn the light off. It's shining inside exactly the same. You just don't see it. And this is exactly with Hashem. Again, lehavdil elef havdalot, not to compare God to the sun, but imagine now that Hashem is shining like the sun. If you stand in the street, then you feel the warmth, you see the light, now you go into a house, right on the spot, you already don't feel the heat on you, and the light diminishes a little bit. Then you close the window, then you close the blinds, then you close the curtains. You do all sorts of actions to start preventing from the light to coming into the house. At some point, the room is going to be completely dark. Now, did you affect the sun? No, the sun is shining exactly the same. You didn't affect it. You made an action that caused you to be away from the light, and now you are in the darkness. Same thing with us. Hashem is standing, shining His godly light. Now, shining this godly light, what it means, that God wants to give you everything. Health, money, parnasa, your other half, nachat, happiness, everything. Hashem wants to give you everything. We just do actions and we remove ourselves away from Hashem. I do an action, I move a little bit away. Another action, a little bit away. Somebody once asked me, I don't know if you know or don't know, the way how I became religious, I grew up very, very secular. I was the most secular person you can imagine. And 14 years ago, I had a near-death experience. I had cardiac arrest, I died, My soul went up to Shamayim. I saw the entire... they gave me a tour of the heavens, and then I came back. If you didn't hear the story, tomorrow there's a lecture here in Kew Gardens of my entire story. If you didn't hear it, you very, very recommended to come and hear it. If you can't make it tomorrow, tell me. I have your CDs. Take it home. You see the two-hour video. But you really want to see it. The thing is that a lot of people ask me, because of my own experience, can you give me the difference between what's Gan Eden and what's Genom? Everybody wants to know what's Gan Eden, heaven, and what's Genom, hell. People think that Gan Eden, you're sitting on a deck chair, like on a cruise ship, and they're, you know, making waves at you, and you're sitting with a margarita. No. And people think that Genom, they turn you on a shish kebab, you know, on the barbecue. The easiest way to explain it is that God is like a pillar of light. The closer you are to the light, the more you see, the more you feel, the more you enjoy this endless wisdom of God. You start moving away from the light, the starting becomes dimmer, dimmer, dimmer. Then you move real, real, real far, you're already in the dark. That's it. That's the easiest way to explain it. The closer you are to the light, the more you enjoy this godly revelation, this endless divine information that God just shines. It says in the Gemara, what are the souls doing in Gan Eden? Yoshvim beGan Eden, ve'atotehem berasheihen. They're sitting with crowns on their head, ve'ne'enim miziv hashchina. They're just enjoying the glory of God. The more you move yourself away, then you don't have the light. You're not enjoying it. By default, you're suffering. This is it. It's very simple. Now, Genom is much more complex. I'm just giving an example. Don't go home and say, Genom is just there's no light. It's not exactly like that. Genom is not such a good place. In essence, Genom is to cleanse the soul. But there's many levels in Genom. You don't want to get there. Let's put it this way. The thing is that we are responsible for our own acts. And if I remove myself from the source, then I'm lacking something. Not too long ago, before I was religious, I had a friend who was very, very crazy about basketball. So he took me to a game of the NBA. And in the beginning, we went like to the top. You know, the players, they look like ants running on the field. You're so far up, you don't see nothing. So we went a few rows down. Now we see a little bit better. And then we went a few more rows down, and you see a little bit better. The closer we came to the field, you see better. And finally, we got like to the 10th row. Oh, now I see what's going on. So this is the concept. Now, if I live my life according how the manual tells me to live, I'm not going to have any problems. I'm not going to have any problems. Why? Because I follow the orders. Now, when I say I'm not going to have any problems, I'm not saying that everything in my life will be good. That's not the point. Our life is designed to have these ups and downs. But when I'm saying I'm not going to lack anything, when something bad is happening, it's not going to be bad. It's part of the process. Now, our natural inclination is that something's not working out how I want to, then it's bad. God is punishing me. Now I don't want to do anything. There's not a God. It's all fake. Why? Because it's affecting me. I feel that I'm suffering. And you know what triggers that? Your ego. Nothing else. We have an ego. If you think you don't have an ego, then you do. Look in the mirror. We all have an ego. And the problem we have, our major problem that stops us from doing anything, is our ego. If you wouldn't have an ego, everything would be perfect. Why do you think you're suffering? Because you think, I am suffering. I'm not suffering. Our ego is preventing us from achieving anything that we want. We think that the Etzer Hara is preventing us from whatever we need to get. No, it's our ego that is preventing us from where we need to go. And every person that thinks that he doesn't have an ego, then it means that his ego is twice stronger. With an ego?
Yeah. How is it getting in my way?
How is the ego gets in my way? Most people, let's move the whole Torah for one second aside, And Chas v'Shalom, imagine that there's no Torah. Every normal person deals with anger. They're not patient. Jealousy. Hate. All these character traits that are in me, that the Torah doesn't really come to instruct me about it. There's not mitzvah that tells me, don't be upset. The Torah tells me, put tefillin on, eat kosher, keep Shabbat. But the thing is that we all constantly toil with all sorts of inner feelings. Somebody comes and tells you something, you get upset at him. Why? Why do you get upset? Who suffers when you get upset? You. Why should I get upset? Something happens. Why should I be impatient? My child spills something on the floor. Most people, they get impatient. Then they'll scream. Why? Because the ego says, you now annoyed me. Why do you get upset at your child that spills something on the floor? Because you have to clean it now. Or you just cleaned the floor and he made a mess. It's the ego. If a person doesn't have an ego, no problem, nothing happened. It's okay. Why does a person jealous of somebody else? Why does he have a nicer car than me? Why does he have more money than me? All these sins that we fail it in is because we see something in somebody else that we don't have. You know, there's one of the biggest sins is ni'uf. How do you say?
Envy?
No, envy is kina. Ni'uf is to... How do you say? Adultery?
No, not adultery.
How do you say ni'uf in English?
Lustful women.
No, ni'uf can be, doesn't have to be with women necessarily.
Jealousy.
No, no. Ni'uf is when a person wants to cheat on his wife. That's ni'uf. Adultery? Okay. Ni'uf.
Adultery?
Okay. Why does somebody commit the sin of ni'uf, of adultery? Why is his wife prettier than mine?
What I want.
This is our ego. And I can give you another 1,000 examples. You just use your imagination. But what stops me from moving forward or growing higher is my own ego. Now, if I would move my ego away, I would have a very nice, calm life. Now, it's true that we have to focus on Torah and mitzvot. This is the basics of the basics. But the great Talmid of the Arizal, Rabbi Chaim Vitali, says, yes, the mitzvot are very important, but avodat ha-midot, working on myself, that's why we came to this world. The mitzvot and the Torah, this is like the fuel, the energy that I need to get. The same way that I eat 3 times a day, my soul needs Torah and mitzvot. That's it. It's more than that, but the Torah and mitzvot is to feed, to nourish my neshama. I don't know anyone that will say today, I'm not eating. You have to eat, you're starving. Your body's not going to function if you don't eat. If you don't eat now for 2 days, your body will not function. Eventually, you'll become sick. Your soul needs Torah and mitzvahs all day long, because if not, the soul becomes weak. When we have all sorts of problems, health problems, mental problems, it's mainly because we're neglecting our soul. People think it's all sorts of things. People in this generation, they're coming up with all sorts of nonsense. 90% of the physical and mental problems we have is problems from the soul. The soul is undernourished. And the problem is in the spiritual level and it manifests into the body. It's simple. It's very, very simple. Any problem in the spirit, in the physical world, is a deficiency in the spiritual world. If I have some type of a sickness, it means that in the spiritual level, I'm lacking something. And if I'll go to the source, I'll be able to fix it. The problem in our generation, that the doctor just wipes your... Yeah, numb it, put it to sleep. You have a headache, you take a pill. Why take a pill? You're numbing it. You know what the pills do? They numb the nerves. That's it. So you don't feel the pain. So you're not dealing with the problem. I just met some old lady, they put their kid on some chemical because he's a little bit hyperactive. I told her, you're killing the child now. He'll never get off it. Now you're making him addicted to the pill. You're not solving the problem. Go to the core. So most of the problems, I know, most of the problems that we have, no offense, most of the problems we have, they're original in a spiritual blemish, a spiritual deficiency that most likely I created, now I deal with it. So the thing is, that I caused all of my problems. My ego is stopping me from doing anything. Why do I get upset at people? Because I have my own ego. So when I live my life a certain way, that is not how the manual tells me to do, the Torah tells me exactly how to do it. Now it doesn't mean my life is going to be perfect if I follow the Torah. The most popular question, I see many great rabbis or tzaddikim and they have a hard life. The fact that they follow the Torah doesn't mean that their life is going to be nice. That's not the point. A, there's a good chance you came with baggage from a previous reincarnation and now you have to deal with it. How do you know? Now something happens. How do you know you didn't do something 500 years ago and they told you in the heavenly court, go back down to this world to fix it and we clean you the debt. The balance will be zero. And instead of thanking Hashem that He's forgiving you and clearing your debt, you're complaining. You know, Chazal, our sages tell us, accept the suffering. Baba, why? Because it's all good. Bless you. We just don't see it. Why? Because of our ego. If I didn't have an ego, I would be like, I must have done something. Something bad happens. I must have done something. Now the thing is that other people think that if they follow the Torah 100%, then their life should be perfect and everything is going to be good. And then when it doesn't work like that, then a month later, I tried to put tefillin on every day, nothing changed. It doesn't work. I colored my hair for 2 months. It doesn't work. What do you mean it doesn't work? It has nothing to do with working or not. This is not going to solve your problems. You have to do something because you have to do it because that's what the Torah tells you to do. If our life wouldn't go up and down, something's wrong. When my life is smooth, I get very worried. If everything is calm for 2-3 weeks in my life, I get very worried. I'm like, what is he planning now, this Yetzer Hara? He's planning something. The Gemara says, if 40 days, you don't get any Yisurim, you have to be very worried. It means Hashem is not paying attention to you even. The easiest way to compare it to things that we can relate with, go to a hospital, look at the patients that are connected to a monitor, and you'll see the line going up and down. Going up and down. 1 second up, 1 second down. They're alive. Then go to the ones that chas v'shalom lo aleinu, the line becomes flat, then the person's dead. So if your life is flat, doesn't matter good or bad right now, flat, something's wrong. If the life is going up and down, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. One week I'm good, 1 week I'm not good. 1 year I'm making a lot of money, the next year I'm not going to make a lot of money. This is normal, this is good. The problem starts is that when I don't see the script, you have to understand that our life is a movie. God is the producer, He wrote the script, and you're the actor in the movie. And this is your part in this movie. And everything is predestined, everything is already decided. Your job is to walk on the path. That's it. Here comes the main nisayon, the main test. That God is going to put you through a series of challenges, a series of tests, all sorts of problems. That's part of the script. He wants to see how you're going to behave. This is called free will. People think that free will is if I'm going to wear a black suit today or a gray suit today. If I'm going to eat now eggs or I'm going to eat an orange. That's not free will. Free will is Hashem puts in front of you a scene and He wants to see what you're going to do. He's going to give you the opportunity to do something. Either you do the mitzvah or you don't do the mitzvah. That's your free will, to do or not to do. He's going to put now a temptation in front of you. Am I going to do the sin or not going to do the sin? This is in general what's free will. But in essence, what's the free will? Hashem is going to put you in a situation. You have no control in the situation. And your free will is to choose if you accept that it came from God or not to accept that it came from God. And that's the free will. Something bad happens, you have the opportunity to say, to choose. You know what? It's all from Hashem. It's good. So I'll go through it. Or to say, no, I don't want to choose. It comes from God. I don't want to believe. I have a friend like that. Took me 5 years to make him put tefillin on. Every time he gets upset, today I'm not putting tefillin on. Why? Something happened to him the other day, I don't know. Today I'm not putting tefillin on. Why? Because I'm upset. So I said, what is one going to do with the other? How about instead of not putting tefillin on, don't eat today? No, but then I'm going to be hungry. So why are you punishing yourself? What's the difference if you don't eat today, if you don't put tefillin today? What, are you punishing God? You think He needs your tefillin? The problem is that we are going through a series of situations, and we have to choose how we're dealing with the situation. Now that we kind of covered the whole idea, as okay, now tell me how do I deal with the situation. Okay, you gave me a nice idea. Now how do I deal with it? Now if you go to the end, not to the beginning, so you look at a tzaddik. You ever saw a tzaddik getting upset at something? You ever saw a tzaddik complaining, I don't have money, I do have money? You ever saw the house of the Baba Sali? It was like a little shack. You ever saw him complain? No. Why? Because a tzaddik, it's not in our level, but a tzaddik sees the reality and he knows what to choose, how to accept, what to not to accept. Why is our topic connected to a tzaddik? And I want to give you, I don't know how long we have, but I want to give you more practical things to understand. Thank you so much. How to deal with it. Excuse me for 1 second. Because to talk and talk and talk is nice. So you kind of got the idea what creates the problem. Now, we want to talk a little bit tachlis. You know how the Zohar called Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the first leader, let's say, we call him Rabbeinu because he was our rabbi, even though the first tzaddik one might say would be Avraham, but we call him Avraham, Avinu, our father. We don't call him Rabbeinu. The first one we called Rabbeinu was Moshe. Rabbeinu is a rabbi, he teaches you. We had before that Avraham, we had Yitzchak, we had Yaakov, we had Yosef, we had a lot of tzaddikim before that. But Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who taught us. He gave us the Torah. That's why he got the title Rabbeinu. And the Zohar calls Moshe Rabbeinu Raya Mehemna. Raya Mehemna is a trustworthy shepherd. Why has he got this term Raya Mehemna? Okay, so yes, the Torah tells us he was a shepherd. Fine. But why? The Zohar is calling him Raya Mehemya, a trustworthy shepherd, because a shepherd takes care of his flocks. He feeds them, he protects them. You know the famous story with David HaMelech, how he got to become king, because God was looking at him, he was a shepherd. The famous story that he would let first the small sheep go out, and they would eat, he put them in, then he would take the older sheep out, and he knew how to take care of each one individually, separately, give special attention to each one. That's why Moshe, according to the surface, was chosen to be the leader. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was already chosen from the first day of Bereshit, he was known to be, that he's going to be the Redeemer. It's not that suddenly God did a lottery and was like, okay, I'll take this guy. But it says that because he was such an amazing shepherd, then God saw all his good qualities, etc., etc. But what's the quality of a good shepherd? That he takes care of everybody individually. And this is the job of a tzaddik. That he's a raya mehemna, that he's a roe ne'eman, he's a trustworthy shepherd. But why is he trustworthy? Because he feeds each and every one of them separately. And what is the Zohar is referring to? He's feeding them emunah. Mehemna comes from the word emunah, belief. The tzaddik is the one who feeds the souls the emunah. Now each generation has the tzaddikim. Zohar says, "Bechol dor v'dara itpashtuta de Moshe Rabbeinu." Every generation has a continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Every generation has a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu. It comes into one of the tzaddikim of the generation, or it spreads in the tzaddikim of the generation. But the tzaddik came to this world, A, to become a billboard. That I can look at the tzaddik and be like, this is what the Torah meant. This is what Rambam says. Rambam says, you have to look at the tzaddik because the tzaddik is the example of what the Torah means. If the tzaddik puts the tefillin exactly like this, it means you have to put the tefillin exactly like that. That's what the tzaddik does. If it's a tzaddik nistar, a hidden tzaddik, then he does what he needs to do. But the tzaddik that is revealed, it's for us to look at it and get an impression and imitate that image. So the tzaddik is the one, he's the trustworthy shepherd that feeds us this emunah. So if I want to get this emunah, the first and foremost thing, I need to connect myself to a tzaddik. Because the tzaddik is the one who's going to give me the emunah. I have to have what's called emunat tzaddikim. I have to connect myself to a tzaddik. That's how it's amazingly connected nicely to our topic. Because you see a perfect example with the Baba Sali. You said before the story about him. You know one of the reasons what made him so great? That he segregated himself from any pleasure in this world. He didn't want to pleasure anything in this world. The more you refine yourself in this world, the more you get closer to your Creator. Now, A1 and everyone is obligated to go through what the Torah teaches you. You have to do it. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, doesn't matter anything. There's no difference between one Jew to the other. I keep Shabbat, you have to keep Shabbat. There's no difference. I eat kosher, you have to eat kosher. Nobody's more Jewish than the other. What the Torah says, everybody has to do it. That's the first thing. A lot of people think that they maybe deserve a discount or something. There's no discounts. But more than that, what causes me to have this disbelief, this lack of faith, is only when I remove myself from the light. That's it. The same analogy I gave you before. If I go into the room and close all the blinds, then I'm suffering. I put myself in this position that I don't have light. So if I'm lacking emunah, if I'm lacking faith, and I don't have bitachon, it's because I'm removing myself from the source. So that's it. Now, if you already get to the point that you're saying, yes, you know what, I'm on the path, but I'm missing this excitement. I don't have the emunah. Something bad happens. When something good happens, I'm good. But when something doesn't work out, then I lose all my faith. The only way to get it is you have to get closer to the source. Now, it's of course easier said than done, because we have a yetzer hara, we have a lot of teavot, a lot of desires, we have a lot of baggage from a previous life, we had a lot of issues. It's very easy to lose your emunah. In 1 second you lose your emunah. The thing is that the first and most important, and I have to be as much as connected to the Torah. The Zohar explains that between our soul to God, there's a rope that's connecting us. And the same way that in the physical world, a rope is built from many, many thin strings, then this spiritual rope is built from 613 fibers, corresponding to the 613 mitzvot that there is in the Torah. Now, if I keep all the Torah and mitzvahs, then my rope is 100% perfect. I have a very strong, powerful rope. So I'm connected very strong. But then, chas v'shalom, a person does one sin, so he cuts one string, another sin, another string. Doesn't do a positive mitzvah, cuts another one. So if you cut 50 out of 613, not the end of the world. But then you cut more, and you cut more, and you cut more, and you cut more. At some point, this rope becomes very, very weak. Now, I'm not talking about certain sins that with one act you cut the entire rope. There are 36 acts in the Torah that a person can do, and in one shot he cuts the entire rope. A person eats a crumb of bread on Pesach. He ate chametz on Pesach. The whole rope got caught in one shot. A person eats something on Yom Kippur. The whole rope gets cut off. A person desecrates Shabbat. There are 36 actions that you do in this world, and you cut the entire rope in one shot. Now, what happens when you cut this rope? No connection. You take now a smartphone, you go out of the range of the Wi-Fi, no connection. The phone is dead. So when a person cuts the connection from the source, doesn't hear, doesn't know, doesn't feel, you're in the dark. So first and most important, if a person doesn't follow the Torah, he will never have the connection to have the right power of belief. Never, ever. So when people are very far away from the Torah, and you come to a person like that, and you tell him, come, you want to come to a Shabbos meal? Shabbos. Going to a party. You come to a person like that, come, you want to put tefillin on? Tefillin, leave me alone. Why? Because it's not that he's a bad person. He's so disconnected from the source, the soul that's shining in him is so covered with all these layers, like I said before, with the lamp, he doesn't feel anything. Even if he does a mitzvah, he doesn't feel nothing. And the problem with a lot of us is that we're so far away that even if you do something, you don't feel anything. How many people tell you, okay, you know what, I'll give it a shot. I'll put tefillin on for a whole month. And then they come back, nothing happened. The situation got worse. I'm just giving an example with tefillin, it's with everything. People, first of all, don't even give it a chance. And people think that if they start taking on themselves 2-3 mitzvot, then life is going to get good. And that's not how it works. But if a person is far away from the Torah and the mitzvot, he will never have this connection to the highest point of his soul that is called emunah. He will never have it because this rope is disconnected. He'll never reach there. So there's different levels where each one is holding. If a person is holding that is completely disconnected from the Torah and mitzvot, then the situation is critical. This is like half dead. They have to do CPR. This soul is completely disconnected. The only way to wake it up is if you start nourishing it with mitzvot. Then the soul starts getting a little bit of light, like you give it like electricity shocks. But assuming you are already in a level that you're at some extent you are observant, and you're still lacking that, and that says darsheni, something's going on. If I'm lacking the emunah, if I'm already practicing what the Torah tells me to do, and I still have this lack of emunah, something's going on here. So it can be a result of one thing, that some of these strings are disconnected, that the connection is not that good. So if a person is following the Torah and mitzvot and still lacking emunah and bitachon, faith and trust, and he loses his trust in Hashem, or something comes, a little wind, and it shakes him completely, it means, first of all, he has to do right away a review. Because if something happens to me like real bad, chas v'shalom, and I'm very strong in my position, like the Mishnah says, like a tree that his roots are so strong in the ground, any wind that will come will not even move that tree. So if I have this level of bitachon and everything that happens, okay, fine, okay, we'll deal with it. Then it means that I can kind of assume and analyze that my situation is pretty good. But if something comes, a little wind, and starts shaking me, must be that the roots are not sitting so well, that I'm lacking something. So I have to do a review. If I went through the entire review and I couldn't find one thing that I'm doing wrong, one thing, then I can already move to the next stage and say, okay, must be that either it comes from a previous reincarnation or Hashem is just testing me right now. But if something like this happens and I'm all shaken and I'm losing my bitachon, the easiest way to say, okay, must be that the connection to the source is not a good connection. If you remember, well, at least the older ones of you, in the olden days, the radios were like with a dial. Some of you are young here, they don't even know what I mean. And today, the radio, the station is digital. And in the olden days, it was a dial. You know, you would turn it till you get to the right station. Until you get it, you'll have a lot of static. Till you come to the exact perfect line. That's exactly the thing. If you have static, if you don't have a clear frequency, it means that you're not aligned. Now, in the general scope of it, a person needs to align his body with his soul. Kabbalah teaches us when something is out of balance, then nothing will work. If you want to have a normal life, you have to be balanced. That's why if you look at the structure of the sefirot, there's a right side, a left side, and the center. And the malchut and the keter are right in the center, because you have to be balanced. If you're not balanced in your life, then nothing will work out. You're always going to be either dizzy to this side or dizzy to that side. So our avodah is to balance our body with our soul. If I balance my body with my soul, I'm not going to be swinging from side to side. So each and every one of you that gets to a point that you have a problem with emunah or bitachon, that's a red light. A red light that's that my connection, excuse me, then my connection is not so good. So first I have to do a review. Maybe I'm not doing something. Maybe I'm not really keeping Shabbat exactly. I'm saying, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm not so learned about all the halachot. Maybe I'm failing in borer. I don't know. Maybe in bishul. Something. When I first became religious for a couple of years, you know, I would keep Shabbat, and I thought that I'm keeping Shabbat. And then one time I decided that now I'm going to master Ilchot Shabbat. And I started every day learning, and I was like, Elohim Shmo. I'm desecrating Shabbat every Shabbat. Because I'm failing in Borer, and I'm failing in Bishul, and I'm failing in this. So a lot of us think that we're doing something right, but it's time to step it up. Because maybe I'm not doing it 100% right. And if I'm doing everything 100% right, it means that I'm not medakdek in the mitzvot, that I'm not being particular with certain things. And the more I grow, the more I need to be particular with things. And the higher I go, the more particular I need to be with things. Particular means that I have to be very careful with every little thing that I do. And when you look again at the tzaddik, why the tzaddikim are in such a high level, they segregate themselves from the world. They don't want to enjoy anything in this world. The Torah allows you to do certain things and prohibits you to do certain things. But even in certain things that the Torah allows you to do, a person needs to also be, you know, a little bit milifnim mishurat adin, go a little bit above from what the Torah tells you. So there's no prohibition to eat during the week, but there's no mitzvah to eat during the week. You have to eat kol tzorko, whatever you need in order to function. You eat all day long steaks, it's not a sin. But you're not sanctifying yourself. You're making yourself very, very physical, very mundane. So you can pleasure food, you can pleasure anything. Anything that you take from this world and you enjoy it too much, even if it's good, it's not a sin. But you're not sanctifying yourself. You're making yourself a very, very low level. And the result will be, again, you're far away from the light. The more you want to be closer to the source, then you have to refine yourself. Our sages say, Kadesh et atzmicha b'mutar lecha. Make yourself holy in what you are permitted. That's why you see that great Rabbanim and great Tzaddikim, during the week, they, you know, drink a little bit of water, a little bit of bread, something. I mean, the minimum of the minimum. They don't need a fancy house, they don't need a fancy car, they don't need... Not that I'm saying there's something wrong with a nice house. You need to live comfortable. But the less you take from this world, the more holier you're making yourself. By default, you'll make your thoughts pure, your everything will be pure. The point is that it mainly depends on which stage you're holding. If you're in a very low level, you just started to become observant, you're not observant, you have to analyze your level. If you're in a low level, then you have to do things more in the wide scope. If you're in a higher level, then you have to start fine-tuning every little thing. But the bottom line is that when I'm lacking Emunah. No, I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking only about Emunah. Trust and belief in Hashem. If I'm lacking, if I have a problem, it means that I'm very far away from my source, because my soul has 10 levels corresponding to the Esel Sefirot, and the Emunah is one of the highest ones. So if I don't have Emunah, it means that I'm not really connected to my essence. And the basic things one needs to do, first of all, you have to follow the Torah. There's no question. There's no hocus pocus. People would come and tell me, just give me a few things. There's no few things. There's no hocus pocus in the Torah. The Torah wants you to do anything from beginning to end. But there are certain things that does help you a lot achieve this emunah. One of them is saying Birkat Hamazon. Something very simple. You know where we learn it from? From Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was the first Jew. He had a beautiful tent. Any person that would pass in the desert would tell him, come, we're having a barbecue. Would give them food, wine, everything, would spoil them. Then he would tell them, okay, thank the creator of the world, say Birkat Hamazon. If they wouldn't agree, he would give them a $100,000 bill. Why did he do that? Not because he wanted them to be aware that there's a creator. He wanted to put in them this power of Emunah, that they would come to it by himself. Some people think that if somebody will go to a seminar or to a lecture or to something, and from that he will become observant, it's never like that. It doesn't work like that. The only way where a person becomes closer to God is because he's yearning from inside that he wants to become closer to God. And you can only assist somebody by, you know, injecting some things into him. That's what Avraham Avinu used to do. He used to inject this seed of emunah into his guests. So we know that Birkat HaMazon, saying Birkat HaMazon, is, I don't like saying the word remedy, sgula, because I don't believe in those things. I believe in doing. Amaseh v'ikar. That's what our sages say. Do. Don't fly in some spiritual world. You know the tzaddik. Amaseh v'ikar. We know that Birkat HaMazon has such a powerful thing to build the emunah. So first of all, most people, comes the will of the week, you give them a bagel, you know what's their question? Is this mezonot? Is it mezonot? No, if it's not mezonot, no, I'm in a rush. Rush? That's most people. Is it mezonot? Ah, no. Why not? Why not? It takes 3 minutes to bench. 3 minutes! You know, one time, not too long ago, we're sitting and having a meal. I hear my 5-year-old and my 7-year-old arguing. The 7-year-old says, okay, let's eat the bread. The 5-year-old tells him, no, I don't want to wash. So the 7-year-old tells him, why not? It's a mitzvah. Pure mind. I have a student, all she cares about is money. She comes, everything she takes on herself is that she'll be successful in business. That's her thing. So I told her once, I have a proposition. She comes to me, what should I do so I can make more money? So I told her, you know what? I want you to say Birkat HaMazon every morning. You start your day or your lunch, you choose one of the meals, whether you want the bread or not, you wash, eat enough from the bread and bench. No, it's too much time. It's too much time. I told her, but you want to make money, no? You're willing to invest 12 hours a day in work to make money, but you're not willing to invest 5 minutes in saying Birkat HaMazon? Look how stupid you are. You would run now all day long to make money. But to sit for 5 minutes on your tuchus and to read a few lines, that you're not willing to do. This is the irony in our species. Whatever doesn't make sense, we run after. We find trust into things that don't make sense even. But in the real things, no, that's a waste of time. So I told her, all you need to do is 5 minutes, sit. First of all, it's a mitzvah from the Torah. You're doing a mitzvah from the Oraita. Women are not exempt from Birkat HaMazon. They might be exempt from any mitzvot. They don't exempt from Birkat HaMazon. Now, it's not a chiyuv. It's not that if you pass a day without saying Birkat HaMazon, you're doing something wrong. No, but you're going there. Every time you go a little bit extra, what's called milifnim shurat adin, you do extra, you pull on yourself this reaction. Remember I told you before that you do an action, right away comes a reaction? You do an action of going beyond what you're supposed to do, that reaction will right away reflect on you. Now forget about the point that you're doing this action that will bring this reaction. Fine, that's a very superficial way of looking at it. Besides that you're doing a mitzvah from the Torah, fine. But Birkat HaMazon, benching, is known to be the power that puts emunah in you. When I have Shabbat guests, most of my Shabbat guests are not observant people. I just want them to come to my Shabbat table. I want them to see how beautiful it is, so they appreciate the Shabbat. Now you can't convince somebody to become religious. It doesn't work like that. And a lot of people come to me, and I have guests that are Shomrei Shabbat, and they're telling me, look, you know, the guy's outside smoking, and I saw him came with the car, and I'm going to make him not go with the car? What am I going to do? But I still want him to come to my table. You know why? He'll hear some Torah. He'll drink kosher wine from the Kiddush. He'll eat kosher food. He'll see nice kids. And then I'm going to make him bench. David HaMelech says, "Im tamim, titamam." Somebody is very like easy going with you, so you behave the same way. Im ikesh, titpatal. Somebody stubborn, titpatal. Go be tricky. Go from all the angles you can. Come from here. Come from there. I don't mind having people that I don't care, as long as you sit in my table. Why? Because I want to come to you, titpatal. Just bench. Do me a favor. Just read this few lines. So there are few things that one can do that actually triggers this point of the emunah. This level that you can reach to, because you have the emunah, it's in you. You don't gain it because you become more religious. No, it's in you, you have to dig in. If I'm going to now come and tell you that somewhere there are in the ground diamonds, thousands of them, you're going to dig with your hands. Why? Because I want the diamonds. You just need to dig inside of you to pull out a power that you can utilize to have a better life. Now again, don't get me wrong. Don't think that if you become more observant or you have more emunah, then your life is all perfect. Then the mortgage is paid. It doesn't work like that. There's a reason why we have the ups and downs. One of the many reasons that we have these downs, because Hashem wants to see how we get up. Sometimes Hashem pushes us. Who do you think gives the permission to the Yetzer Hara to come and annoy you? Hashem. Well, it's a problem for Hashem to go like this and to stop the Yetzer Hara if He really wants. Hashem gives the permission. Why? He wants to see how you react when you're on the floor. That's what Hashem wants. He's playing with you. He wants to see how you're going to react. Now, if you fall on the floor and you stay on the floor, then you lost the game. You lost this fight. That's why Rabbi Nachman from Breslev says, "En yeush ba'olam." There's no such a thing even. Even when you're on the ground, why should you fall into despair? That's part of the process. We read on Friday, every Friday we read Lecha Dodi, the fourth verse we sing, "Itna'ari me'afar kumi." You're on the floor, you're on the ground, you feel that you're in, fell all the way down, get up, itna'ari. Nafar kumi, get up from the ground, brush off the dirt. Velivshi bigdei tifar techami. Put your garments of glory. Continue on going. Nothing happened. It's part of the game. You know what's the funniest thing? We are such weird creatures that most of the people in this world, they enjoy seeing people hit each other. You know what's the most popular sport in the world? But fighting, boxing. You put two people in a ring, punching each other, the whole world goes crazy. Why? Why? Why do you enjoy to see two people half naked? This guy kicks this guy punches, and everybody goes crazy. There's some type of a thrill to see what move my guy will do. And then he made a fancy move, and then he moved, and then he fell, and he got up. It's a show! It's very entertaining, to some people at least. We are put in this world to fight our Yetzer Hara. That's why we're put in this world. We're not put in this world to satisfy God. Hashem put us in this world, gave us Yetzer Hara, and He told Him, this is your opponent. That's it, very simple. All day long, you have to fight your Yetzer Hara. The Zohar says, "Gitkafi asit ra'acha." All day long, you have to subdue your sit ra'acha, your Yetzer Hara. That's it. That's what you were created for. You think you're ever going to win your Yetzer Hara? You're never going to win him. One time you win, one time you lose, one time you win, one time you lose. That's our life. You'll never win him. And if you think you want him, then the next day come a different Yetzer Hara. It doesn't matter. He doesn't ever leave. The point is, why am I telling you that? Because people think that if their life is bad, good, then they're not doing something wrong. No, that's how life is supposed to be. Now, dig deep down inside of you to put out this tool of belief that you can pass this ride. So one of the ways, like I said, is benching. And guarantee, 99.9% of people, they try to get away from that. And they find it annoying. There's a very great ma'ala, very great virtue to say Birkat HaMazon every day. The right way to do it, you wake up in the morning, you pray, you study a little bit of Torah, you eat, Pachel Shacharit, and you bench. You start the day. You can't even imagine the power of it. What you gain from it is you pull out this emunah from your soul. And most people like that woman. She thinks it's a waste of time. Now another thing that really pulls out the emunah out is our diet. And the reason why one of the most important things in the Torah is our diet. so many laws. How to slaughter the animal, where you get the fruit from, what to mix, what not to mix. So many rules for the diet. What's the big problem? What's the big deal? Must be that something is hidden in there. And if you look, the greater the person is, needless to say, a tzaddik, everything that he eats, he looks with a magnifying glass. So a lot of people say, well, I eat kosher. I don't eat mixed meat and dairy. And I don't do this and I don't do that. Yeah, but you're not particular with that and you're not particular with this. And dafka, the more you are refined with the little things, that's what hits the nerve. The Arizal explains that the more you are refined with kosher, the more you are sanctifying your neshama. That's it. And the more you are not refined with kosher, this is what's meshaketzet the nefesh, makes the nefesh unholy. And this is another thing I told you before, that for 5 years I would keep Shabbat and I thought I'm keeping Shabbat, and then I found out that I'm not even keeping Shabbat. Same thing with kosher. I thought I'm keeping kosher. And then I really wanted to learn all the laws and the dinim of kosher, and I found out that I'm not really keeping kosher. And most people say, oh no, come on, you're fanatic. You're fanatic. Yeah, I'm fanatic. Because I'm important to myself. And the more fanatic I am, the more in control I have. The more control I have. You know how the American says? You are what you eat. You put stuff into your body, right away it will affect your entire body. You know why we eat? It says in the Torah, Lo al alechem levado yichya adam. We're not alive because of the food. El al motza pi Hashem yichya adam. We are alive because the power of the creation that is in the food. So if I'm not particular with kosher, it means that I'm putting stuff in my body that I'm not supposed to put. And right away it throws me off balance. And people tend to ignore this part. So fanatic. Why do you have to be fanatic? I want to be fanatic. You're fanatic with every little thing that you see value. Most people are very fanatic with how they deal with their finance. You just throw money. Some people do, but most people are fanatic with things that is very important to them. And dafka with kosher, the more fanatic you are, guarantee that the refinement of your soul is going to get much greater. And not too long ago, I was in a lecture. You can actually find that lecture online because it's a funny lecture. This woman telling me, I'm very kosher, but I don't believe that wine needs to be kosher. The way you get that from. Why wine doesn't have to be kosher, but the hamburger has to be kosher? I don't understand where you're even coming from. So a lot of people, they have this view that, no. When it comes to fanatic, to become extreme, that's just nonsense. It's not really what the Torah wants me to do. Because you're not allowed to mix the kelim, the spoon, the knives, the utensils. You can't mix the meat and dairy. You have to separate everything. A lot of people say, it doesn't say in the Torah not to mix my fleishik and the milchik. It just says not to eat meat and dairy. Why are you becoming so fanatic here? So this particular woman with the wine, and I told her, do you know that if you take now a boiling cup of tea that has milk in it, and you stir the boiling cup of milk, of tea, with a spoon, the spoon observes the taste of the dairy, and the spoon is now considered a dairy spoon. An hour later, you want to eat a good chicken soup. Boiling out chicken soup. You put the spoon in the chicken soup to eat it. Right now, the spoon absorbed the taste of the meat. And right now, the spoon and the soup is bechazkat taref. It's taref. It's treif.
You mix the spoon.
Yeah. I gave example to that woman. And she's like, oh no, fanatic. But there's nothing to do with fanatic. It has to do right now that you ate soup that is treif. Very simple. You put a milk spoon into a fleishik dishwasher, same thing. So a lot of people, they're not very particular with the diet. But dafka, the more particular you are with kosher, you are refining your neshama. Refining it. And it's not only with the examples I gave you, it's endless. Not too long ago, I was at a lecture. They gave me food. They gave me, like, dates. I started looking at the dates to see if there's, you know, there's a bug in there. They thought I lost it. They're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm looking for this, you know, there's bugs in dates. They thought I'm crazy. One time, my five-year-old did that, and he found a worm, maybe like a quarter of an inch long, transparent. And only the head, like this big, black. And we made a video of it. We put light beneath the date, and I took a video. I have the video to show that this little worm. And people think, okay, no big deal, a worm. No, that's even worse than eating pork with milk. So the thing is that the more I refine myself, I climb to a much higher level, which means that I reveal my more inner powers that allow me to accept the reality how it is, to see that there's elokut in everything. If I would see, then I wouldn't have a problem. The problem is that I don't see. And because I don't see, that I don't believe. My point is to reveal this part of me that doesn't see. And it's only by refining myself with all the little things. I gave you just two examples. There are many more examples. But if you want to incorporate something, take this night, because the night of a Hilulah, that a tzaddik leaves the world, it's an auspicious time. You know, we have a very funny thing in this country. Every time there's a holiday, there's a sale. 4th of July, 90% off. Independence Day, it's the same thing. Veterans Day, 80% off. Why? Why can't they have the sale on February 2nd? Because they consider it an auspicious time that now you need to get a sale. We get auspicious times. Every now and then there's a holiday, Rosh Chodesh, Erev Shabbat.
No, make it sale.
Yo, there is a sale.
In the Passover, Rosh Hashanah, and Chris.
Yeah.
No downs. Not that American
people. Well, I'm using the word sale because sale makes people come to buy. You're right. It's an increase, not a decrease. But when you put the title sale, people will come.
He's talking about the other stores have a sale, but on Main Street, when it's passive,
the prices go up.
Right.
The thing is that tonight is an auspicious time. Tonight is a special godly light that shines in this world because a tzaddik, that's the night he completed his avodah. So tonight is the night that you can easily tap in to this express elevator and grab this extra power. So if you want to take something, at least from tonight, and you want to dig deep into your etzem neshama and pull something out, that it will give you some type of a tool to pull this level of emunah out, then take my etzah, take on yourself to start saying Birkat HaMazon every day. 5 minutes it takes, that's it. Make sure that you're much more particular with kosher. And if you do it every day, exactly like you said, say it b'kavanah. You know that if you don't say the words, it's like as if you didn't say the Birkah. I see people, what? No, shh, I meant him. You have to say the words out loud. In everything. In every little thing that you refine yourself and you go beyond what the Torah is even telling you, this is the remedy that will allow you to pull out this power of emunah. In anything that you do, whether it's with tzniut, whether it's with kosher, whether it's how you pray. I'll give you a very small example and then we're going to be done. Half the men that I see in shuls when they pray, when they take off their tefillin, I see the straps like flying everywhere, and then they walk around, they drag it like as if it's like, you know what it means to put the tefillin on the floor. The Ben Ish Chai says that you can't even imagine what it means that the Ritzua touches the floor, and people are like, you know, I saw a lot of people say, ma, I didn't do anything. You're particular with very small things. That's when you bring on yourself this kedusha yetera. There's a din in Shulchan Aruch that the tzitzit is not allowed to touch the floor. It's called bizayon la mitzvah. Disgrace to the mitzvah. Sometimes I see people, they sweep the floor with a talis. Come on, lift it up. This is a holy thing. Now, when you're very particular with these little things, that's when you ignite this power of emunah. So you don't have to come and ask me, give me more examples. Use your imagination. Every time that you're doing something way beyond what you're supposed to, and you're being very particular, it's called the dakdek, to be very particular, that's the secret that what would pull out this power of emunah. And what's the whole point of the power of the emunah? That the way you conduct yourself, it's smoother. It doesn't make your life better, but your life is smoother. You don't have such etzer hara, you don't mitpael, you don't get so overwhelmed from every little thing. You accept the things how they are. Okay, so right now the deal didn't go through. Okay, I got a ticket. It's all from Shamayim, it's all good. So Bezat Hashem, I wish each and every one of you to have the koach and to have the ratzon and to have the ability and to have the mind and to have the time to think and to take this auspicious time, this night, and to say, okay, I know where I want to go to. Life is like, the spiritual life is like going into a car and putting yourself the GPS. You go into the car, you punch in the address, and the GPS already prepares for you the route. And you blindly just drive and you listen, turn right, turn left. This is how you have to live your life. You have to have a destination and you just follow the orders. So Bezat Hashem, I wish you great success in everything that you do. And you should take on yourself, if you're very far away from Torah and Mitzvot, that's a different story. Then you start coming closer, because the closer you get, the better you hear. If you're already halfway through, in through, then you start refining, you're doing the refine tuning. Every little thing that you can think of, you want later on. I'll give you some more examples, some more ideas. Just a few announcements before we continue. First of all, we're going to light candles. Lezchut shel Rav Basali. Whoever ate, don't forget to bench. If you ever didn't, there's pitot over there. Wash and bench.